Play that music.
White boy.
Play that music.
Dear Chicago.
Daryl.
Fullerton is next. Doors open on the left at Fullerton.
How about Chicago? I could be there.
Pause before it plays again.
It won't play again.
Oh, you fixed it. You fit it.
I fit it.
Welcome to Foul Monkeys. This is Ricky.
This is Winksta.
Winksta. Not Winksta.
No, Winksta. Like a Winksta. Oh,
Winksta.
Like a.
Like you're Winkston.
Like I'm fapping.
You're always fapping.
Ugh, God, I wish.
Girl, I just noticed your hair is really tall today.
Is it?
You've
it
got some
good,
tall
look good.
Hair. Your hair game is so tall right
strong.
Now.
I want my eyeballs to look like this. Just saying. By the way, I have
that's
found...
like anime eyes.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, it's she's probably got her eyes closed. So she
it's like all makeup.
Yeah, it's all makeup. I have to say that Fifi
Wait,
O'Hara...
First. You're listening to Foul Monkeys, record out of Chicago, Illinois. This is episode 676. We were wrong on the numbers the last couple shows.
I knew it, we were wrong.
So you haven't heard the second show of last weekend yet.
Right.
Which will come out this Monday.
No. We may not even release it. How about that?
No, we will.
No, let's get people interested. If you want to hear the second part of that... Of that episode of the first one to hear the second part of it.
What was the name of it?
The Hot Garbage Studio.
Hot Garbage Studio.
You're going to have show a little interest. So if you wanted to be
Hey,
released,
we had some interest this week.
One.
No, a couple. We got a phone call. We got two
emails.
Did
we emails. Get a phone call?
We got, yeah.
Who the hell called us? We got,
who the hell called us?
I don't, it must have happened to like, some.
Who the hell called me?
Right.
This is episode 676, and thank you for listening.
Okay, goodbye.
Now back to what you were saying.
Wanksta. I have to say that I have found...
Talk into the microphone.
I am talking to the
Thank
microphone.
Thank you. Thank you.
Look, just because you got your microphone game corrected
yes.
after 18 minutes of trying to figure it out...
Yeah.
Don't come at me, boo.
I'm coming.
Ew.
Yes.
I have to say that I have found a renewed... love for Fifi O'Hara.
Okay. Why?
Because you know she's doing this whole 365 days of drag.
Oh, I think I heard about that.
So
it's like, on Instagram, right?
Yeah, it's on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter,
so
all of
them.
It. Yeah, all the socials.
All the socials.
And her game is strong. Like she's bringing the realness. She's
what she
doing...
should have brought on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes, but you know what though? Like I heard an interview that she did, which I and this is what made me sort of like
because
fall in love again with her.
Because
she
was kind of bitchy, right? We didn't like her because she was kind of mean, right?
Yes, but it was because of the situations. Because she was because so here, let me explain. So there was an interview that she did where
Please
she was
tell us.
Talking about like her experience on Facebook. her experience on Drag Race.
Mm-hmm.
And she was telling me, like, yes, did she come off a little bitchy? Was
Good.
That me?
No. Go ahead. It's just, you know, we have to unplug that.
Feedback. She was talking about how she was a little, like, you know, the way that they painted her out. And she said, you know, I did feel, like, when watching the show that I did come off a little, like, cunty, if you will. But she's like, but the thing is that, you know... This is what happens with any reality show is that they record so much that they don't ever record. Like, this is a producer's
What they're
call.
Saying may not be in order of how things happened.
Yes, that's one. Two, you don't always get the full story. So,
right.
like, they'll record everything that happens, but they may only release the act.
The
like,
bitchy
the very,
statement.
Right. So, it could have been, like, you were taunting
It'd
me.
It'd be like, girl, tell me your best... tell me your best joke or
right
you know
or something like
and
right
she's like you're a bitch
right
that's the end of the joke
right. and that's the edit that they'll show
right
and then of course they cut to the scene where everyone's like
everybody has oh the big God. Eyes that are like blinking
bling bling So she was like, you know, so for example, like the Party City comment with her and
Sharon Needles.
Like there was, she said that there was a lot that Sharon was kind of like going back and like they were going back and forth with each other for a while. And so what they, you know, a lot of it, what we saw was just pieces of what had been happening the whole time that they were there. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, when she retorted with that, that's what they showed. But they didn't really show the whole story, obviously, because they just don't have time for it. But so I kind of was like, and she, you know, and she like fessed up to her being in jail and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, for drinking and driving or something?
No, because apparently her boyfriend drugs at the time. No. Her boyfriend at
prostitution
the time.
Prostitution or something?
No. Oh. Let me get to the fucking story.
So, not paying taxes?
No. So apparently her boyfriend gave her a pair of sunglasses.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because she used to work in lens craft or something. And apparently the boss ended up thinking she stole them. And she didn't. They were given to her by her boyfriend. And she ended up taking the fall for it. The rap for it. And then she didn't follow through with all her, like...
Everyone has a story.
And... Well, just because your story is boring doesn't mean
everyone has a story.
So I ended up, I just watching the interview and hearing her talk and all that. Like, I really ended up liking her. And then I've seen, like, I started following her on Facebook and I started, and she was promoting this 365 days of drag and all this stuff. And I just liked amazing. It. I was like, the shit she did.
I need to follow it.
A week of like 90s where she did 90s characters. That shit was amazing. Because she did Daria, and she did like
what?
It was awesome.
You guys, I love Daria. That is like the first smart ass, like fucking, like I fucking hate life, and I hate everyone else around me. That is like the best ever.
That was a pretty close depiction of what being a high schooler was at that time. Like everyone walked around like total emo, but didn't look like an emo.
A lot of black, a lot of silver, a lot of like black lips.
Monochromatic like colors.
Yeah, it's like why dark. Why do you look like you're in a black and white movie?
Right. Because even your skin's looking and a little off beige.
And then you had all the Britneys,
right?
And the jocks and the bros.
Yeah. So I really liked her. I liked her personality, and you know, I really liked her. And
is she gonna be on All Stars, the new one?
That's coming. I don't know. On? I can't remember if she is or she isn't.
Because they released who was gonna be on All Stars already.
I don't know, but while you talk, I will check it out.
I don't have anything else to talk about.
Oh my god. And this is the reason why I said the comment earlier about being the moderator.
Right. Well, I don't want to go off subject too much, but speaking of clowns, Donald Trump. Hot Mess Express, what is wrong with him? You know, you guys were recording this after the bombings in Brussels,
we have to send our condolences out to those people. Not only that, but like you, it kind of was close to home for you guys, right? It was
very close because... We were still sleeping when all that happened. And I remember Tony's phone going off, like vibrating. I heard it, but you know, that's like text messages and emails and stuff. But when we woke up and I saw the news alert, I was like, oh gosh, we need to find out if they're okay or not. Because Tony's brother lives in Brussels with his husband.
Right.
I mean, this thing just keeps going down and down.
I don't think you have it on tight.
So
that's what she said.
I don't think you have the condom on tight enough.
Tighten it, girl. Tighten
it. My dick's too small.
Oh. Oh, I know what you need. Let me go run out to
let me get you a finger
and get you a finger one.
But fortunately, the new Facebook feature that they have when there's a natural disaster or something like this happens, people can check in to say that they're safe, and then it sends you an alert through your Facebook letting you know,
right,
this person is safe.
There's, this person is safe. You know, here's the thing that I find very interesting is that why is it okay? We have to talk about a little bit about like how the fact that the American media and the North American media focuses like only on
United States
places
media.
That
because North America is Canada and Mexico.
Oh yeah, I guess Canada and Mexico don't really cover. Well, I just say North America, like the United States. I know it's a whole continent, but I just, what I don't understand is why you know, because a lot of people have been really bitching and moaning about like how everyone's so quick to change their profile or add a flag feature or whatever.
I don't do that.
And, you know, I to some degree, like, I understand that it's this whole dichotomy of like we've become so used to and so desensitized. But when I mean used to, I mean that we have become so accustomed to hearing like in Nigeria, in South Africa, in Iraq, in you know, Iran, Afghanistan, like all those places that are always, for the most part, at least since I can remember, have always been war and torn. It's like, well, when a place like, you know, in Nigeria, there was a bombing recently that killed 22 people. And it's like, okay, that wasn't really mainstream media like Brussels was. But I hate to say this, I think Americans have become so accustomed to that happening in those places that we don't react the same when to those places like we do when it's a place like Brussels, well, where there hadn't been anything in a while.
I think this works, which is not right, because it shouldn't be this way.
None of it is right.
But I think it's really all based on economy. I mean, the more money your country brings into the world, the more attention you receive. So it's probably like, you know, because people care more about, I don't want to say like purposely, but monetarily, they care about what happens there because they probably put a lot of money into the system.
Right.
Nigeria, how much money do they put in? No one cares. I mean,
do you really think not that no one cares?
I don't. Wait, first, I want to say what I'm saying is not how I feel.
Well,
what I'm saying is what I perceive the world to be like.
Got it. I see
what I think people.
Yeah, you. That's what you're. Okay. No, I get that.
Because
I mean,
everyone's just as important as anyone else.
Yes, but does
Brussels except for really... if you're Trump. If you are Donald Trump. No, I'm not even going to go there because I've already had Secret Service before. Don't need it anymore. You know what I mean. Wank.
Wankster.
Ew. All I can imagine is Donald Trump wankster.
Ew, stop it. Ew. Immediately. I don't know. I don't necessarily know if that's really the case, though. Because, I mean, Brussels doesn't really... They're not like... You know, they may not... They're not a, you know, they're not a third or second world country. But they're certainly not a country that is like...
But I think they're a country that is normally not involved in political stuff.
Well, I think the only reason why it made such big headlines is because it was in Brussels, NATO was there.
And it's fucking scary.
Well, yes. I mean, duh. But why didn't they report on Nigeria?
Because Donald Trump was like calling what's-his-name's wife a whore.
No, I don't think it's that. I think it was because...
Because we have a fucking reality show going on in the United States between two presidential candidates. It's ridiculous.
I'm
tired of seeing it.
You know, I seriously believe that it's because, to some degree, I think we as citizens and we as consumers of media have gotten so used to the fact that in those countries that happen, that is an existence for them. That is every day for them. That when it comes to places that it is not... It is a big deal.
Well,
for example, like if it happened in Poland, I guarantee you it would be news everywhere. If it happened in Italy, it would be news everywhere because it doesn't happen there all the time.
I think what happens is, like, for instance, we were in war with Iraq and Iran and all those areas for what, 12 years? We were like had a war with them. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, like past 2006, I was like, oh, we're still in a war. Like, no one ever reported on it anymore.
Right.
Because people were fatigued of it.
Right. So I think it's we become accustomed to it. But I guarantee you that if it was any of those places that I mentioned, it would immediately be news and it would immediately be all over the news like Brussels has. And I'm not saying that it's either good or bad. What I'm saying is I, as a consumer of media
in a church,
I would really prefer that I got it. You know, my friend was telling me that when he was in London, when they were in London to go see Adele, they were watching the news, like just
while they're at the concert.
Right. They were on the news. But like they were just watching news while they were in their hotel room or whatever. And he was like, it was their news was so Like, that was the epitome of, like...
calm.
No. Just even news reporting. Like, everyone got reported, not just...
Well, that's why a lot of people, like, instead of going to, like, fucking CNN, they'll be like, I'm going to go to BBC. Because at least at BBC, at the BBC website, you can check actually what's around the world. You know, actually around the world, and not what CNN decides what the world is going to be.
Right.
So at least you get actual news at the BBC website.
Right. Which then kind of
comes which is back- usually not as it's even not partial here in the United States. A it's lot of the news partial. Things are very partial.
Yes, especially to a party that
Fox
is
News.
Right.
What?
But then it comes back to the whole idea of like. It's kind of like what Rue said in the interview. Did you read the interview that he made?
No, I saw somebody.
Like, it's a very big. It's been very like talked about. I want to talk
said
about
it's really long.
It's not. I mean, it's long in a sense of like they asked him a couple questions, but it's not like 13 pages long. The one thing that he did say, which I kind of agree, is that we as consumers we're fucking stupid, and we consume what we're being fed. As an average people of this country, we do not.
Not me, I'm different.
Right. Not everyone, but I think on an average scale, yeah, we're all fucking stupid. I mean, hello, look at who's fucking running, Trump. So I think,
with Trump, you can't say 100% of the United States is stupid because 60% of the people are like, this is a joke. Okay. But he's getting the attention because of the news.
But if you average it out, yes, as an American people, I think a lot of us are stupid.
Well, I don't think other countries should base us on that because not all of us are stupid.
No.
That's like saying, Germany, I know that you had a bunch of Nazi camps, so everyone there is stupid because they're Nazi.
But like on average, yes. If you were to do it, I'm talking about like polls and shit. Like if you average out the average consumer in America, they're not good. It's not you and I. It's not metropolitan cities.
It's not gay people.
It's not. It is the majority, which are south. And, you know, I mean, it's those people.
And that place in the middle United States, like that place called something Dakotas.
Right. Or you have the Nebraska. North Carolina.
Who's fucking. On my list, girl. On my list.
On your list of hateful things you've done. So
my gay Bible.
That it shouldn't even be on there because you're not allowed to have that anymore.
Why can't I have this anymore?
There in North Carolina.
Oh, a gay Bible?
Yeah.
Oh, they banned planners?
Right, they banned anything that was gay. So, no, but what I'm saying is that, you know, that... so, that is the reality that we live in.
How are they going to ban Clay Aiken? Come on now.
I know. Isn't he like a... Isn't
no,
he like
he's from North Carolina. Remember he
no,
said...
No, I know, but isn't he like... Didn't he run for office?
Yeah, and he lost.
Oh, but, okay, so... No, I thought he won.
He did not win.
No. I thought he did move into office because the person he was running against died.
He died, but he's not in office. That guy beat him, and then when he was in office, died. So someone else took that.
Oh, okay. So I wasn't sure how that happened.
I think Clay Aiken is the one that famously said, "I'm not gay. I'm just from North Carolina."
Oh, girl.
Which is true. There's a lot of people in North Carolina. You're like, sometimes it's confusing if you don't know if it's Southern or gay, because it's similar.
Well, I don't know.
North Carolina is a beautiful state too.
No,
it sucks.
So my like I said, my personal opinion is that, you know, he's kind of right. We are fucking stupid.
Believe.
Here, I'll tell you.
You're not going to read the whole thing, are you?
No. I just want to, I want to refer to that particular passage that he was.
Okay, so
I'm looking for it, so keep talking.
Well, but that's still even hard for, like, coming from RuPaul, because RuPaul's like, oh, we're stupid as consumers. Buy MAC makeup. You know, I mean,
he's
an entertainer. He falls into the whole consumerism thing. He feeds into it. I mean, that's his job. So, I mean, to say that other people are stupid or the rest of the United States is stupid, well, he's contributing to the stupidity, right?
No. I mean, why would he be contributing to the stupidity? Well, first of all, you have to understand that. As a show, he, you know, and he kind of explained this. You have to read the article because you can't, like, it's a lot of the stuff. A lot of the blurbs that they've done, it's all taken out of context. You can't just read a blurb and be like, oh, well, you have to read the whole
interview. I haven't read anything from it because somebody said it was long, and I was like, oh, I don't have time for that right now. So I don't know what he said in it. I'm just basing it what you're telling me.
So, like, for example, one of the questions that was asked, which I thought was amazing. And he, okay, so this is the first question, and then I'll read the second one, and then we're done with that. Okay, so say the reporter says they often say that drag saved their lives, because there was a question about how it's a form of survival for drag, mm-hmm. and he says that, you know, yes, to some degree, you know, you have these little boys from the South, and they're trying to be, you know, and so the next sort of part of that question is they often say that drag saved their lives, and then I say, right, and I'll tell you why. Because you get to a point where if you're smart and you're sensitive, you see how this all works out in this planet. It's like when Dorothy looks behind the curtain, like, wait a minute, you're the wizard? And you figure out the hoax, that this is all an illusion, that's only a few areas you can go. First, you get angry that you've been hoaxed and you get bitter, but then take more steps beyond the bitterness and you realize, oh, I get it, let's have fun with it, it's all a joke. You mean I don't have to stick with one look or one whatever, I can shapeshift. Great. That's when you can save lives, because otherwise the mediocrity and the hypocrisy is so mundane, it's better to just not do it. It's not going to say end it all, but that's why it saves lives, because of the people who are highly sensitive and super intelligent, it tickles the brain. It gives them sometimes it's something to live for. It's the irreverence. I was the same way when I was 15. I said, okay, I'm going to do this life, but I'm going to do it on my terms, and I'm never going to join the Matrix. That's why it saves lives. And then the interview asks him is, why would you say that drag saved your life? It actually didn't save my life. It gave me life. I didn't think.
Yes.
I don't think there is a life in the mundane 9-to-5 hypocrisy that's not living. That's just part of the Matrix. And drag is punk rock because it's not part of the Matrix. It's not following any rules or societal standards. Boy, girl, black, white, Catholic, Jew, Muslim. It's none of that. We shapeshift and we can do whatever we want. And then he goes on about, like, does he think that mainstream is, drag is going to ever be mainstream? No, he, so on and so on.
So, yes, from his point of view, he can say those things, but to drag queens that aren't famous or that have hard lives, it's not the same view. You know what I'm saying?
No, the interviewer also asks him his point on, like, the whole drag queen versus transgender and all that stuff, and you know, I really kind of like what he sort of defined, like, you know, a lot of, you know, transgendered people, their life is about identity, and drag
it's
queens
your look,
it's not about identity, it's about a look, it's about like he said, shape-shifting and all that stuff. And a lot of people gave him slack for that, because a lot of the people who do drag are transgender. But that's the thing, that's why I don't understand. Like, I don't get why people are on
but
him
it
for
wouldn't
that.
Be all right, so if you're probably all right, so if you're transgender and you're doing drag, it's probably because you haven't come out as transgender yet, so you're using
one,
drag as
yes
cover.
And I agree, and two, I think it's because you have to make a living, and if that's right. The only way that you can make a living is
as
by doing drag
as the gender you feel you
right.
are.
Right. So I don't understand why people got on him for that.
I didn't know they got on to him about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like, it's apparent, like, people with
people are upset right now.
Yeah, they were upset because he said that, and also because he called people stupid.
Well, I mean, who doesn't call people stupid?
Right. Well, this is the other thing that he was talking, because he saw the guy asked him and said, what do you think of lip sync battle?
I saw this part because
Jimmy Fallon,
it's like a ripoff of his.
Yeah,
Drag
he said,
Race.
He said, I don't think of it. It's a poor ripoff of our show. Regular straight pop culture has liberally lifted things from gay culture as long as I can remember. And that's fine. But guess what? We have so much more where that came from. Take it. That's why. My new show, Gay for Play, is such a fun thing because we're taking the best of the gay sensibility. And
wait, what new show? He has a new show coming out?
Yeah, it's called Gay for Play. It's like a game show.
Oh.
Like they
ask. But it's like all gay stuff?
Yeah, I think it's like all, not all gay stuff, but it's all pop culture and things like that.
Oh my god, is it like The Price is Right, but gay for
it's
pay?
It's kind of like a snatch game. It's kind of like a snatch game, but not, you know, people aren't impersonating, but it's kind of the same sort of setup.
Okay.
I've seen a couple, like, you know.
Is it on Logo?
Yeah, okay. It's on Logo. You know, that cheap ass channel. And he's like, give everybody to put it all in one pace, and we're showing these bitches how it's really done. But it's funny how that works, even in the gay culture. There's a certain gay shame. Gay people accept straight pop star over a gay pop star, or they will accept a straight version of a gay thing because they're still so self-loathing, you know, which I agree.
I do kind of like about that show, the Lip Sync Battle show. It is interesting that guys do women's songs and women's do guy songs. I mean, because I think that's interesting just to say that they're a little bit more open-minded than what they used to be.
But why is it? And I guess this goes back to the whole point of, like, you know, the whole sort of conversation of, you know, why can't producers in Hollywood, for example, find gay people, transgender people to play those roles in those mainstream movies? So why do they always hire straight people to play or straight assuming people to play those gay parts? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, like in the media, people say, oh, because it is a stretch, or it's a muscle that you have to learn how to do, and because it doesn't come natural to you. Well, that's kind of insulting. If you think
it's
about
called
it,
acting,
you know, but it's insulting in a sense, because it's like, wait a minute. So you're saying,
well,
that
I think the pool of gay actors, big gay actors, is a lot smaller
exactly
than the street ones.
That's the problem. So, and so that whole thing kind of leads to that whole, like, you know, what he's kind of saying. It's like, look, you know, why is it that you don't hire a transgendered girl to play a role? So, for example,
that's like in Sense 8. I was wondering why they did not do that in Sense 8. The transgender woman that's in that show, that's not a real transgender person.
Right.
That's a woman.
But that goes kind of back to
my idea. But I don't know if she's not a lesbian, or I don't know that part.
I think that kind of goes back to my whole, like, theory is that, you know, main street media is not ready for those types of individuals to be, you know, to influx their, you know, that sort of
this
section.
This is something. This like introduces into something I want to talk about too. Mm-hmm. People evolve; the way they think evolve mm-hmm. over generations and generations and generations, right? Mm-hmm. So we've been watching Mad Men, and you know that's set in the '50s and the '60s,
right?
And some of the stuff that they're saying is like shappalling. I'm like shocked and appalled. I'm right. Shappalled. And I'm like, oh my god, it is crazy how much different today is than it was 45, 50 years ago.
Isn't it disgusting how they treated each other?
Oh, and it's true. I mean, the whole story of Mad Men, I mean, I don't think that storyline is true, but the stuff that they use for the history, that's all real.
Well, no, it's actually based on, I think it's based on a particular guy. So, like, the Don Draper is based on
someone. He's a real person?
Yeah, he's a real person. I think the names are different, and obviously, you know, that stuff. So, it's loosely lifted from a reality, basically.
So, just like part of Mad Men, what I found very interesting is during the Civil Rights Movement, for America, for African Americans, mm-hmm. one of the characters said, which I found very, it gives me like chill bumps, maybe now is not the right time for this movement because not enough people are ready to move. Not that I'm justifying that, but I think a lot of people feel that way about different sections of everything that happens. You know, in the 80s with HIV, you know, the gay scene kind of just getting introduced. I mean, it's always been there, but it's become a little more mainstream. You know, even with like gay rights, it wasn't time for it in the year 2000 because there weren't enough people on board. So I kind of get upset. Like, I read these things about like Nancy Reagan and all this stuff, And I understand that people are upset because they didn't say enough fast enough, but it was the time period. I mean, you can't change time. You can't make somebody think something that it's they're not ready for.
I don't know. I mean, I agree with most of what you said. I don't know about that last part.
I don't think she's an awful person. All these people are saying she's awful. She
was kind of awful. And the only reason she was kind of, I think the reason why she will always be equated as an awful person because of that is because she personally knew people who were dying of HIV and she did nothing when she had the power to do something. And because of her own, like her own, maybe not hate, but maybe ignorance, if you will.
But why is it just, not okay for... I mean, why do we have to force her to believe something that's not... She's not ready to
because
believe
because she's in a position of power. And it's, but not, that maybe, doesn't, it's not maybe... It, maybe it's not forcing. I think that's an inaccurate way to describe it. I think that if you are in a... If you are in a position of power, there isn't time for you to have personal feeling about it. You need to act on it... you need to remove your personal feeling from it, basically. So you need to act on it based on how it's going to affect the people. And that's what I think people did not like.
So the same thing during World War II, when all these Jewish people are being killed in camps, so the United States did nothing. Don't hear people saying, oh, why wasn't the president doing this? Why wasn't the president doing that? Because you know what they said? We weren't involved. So we did not see that. So we don't. So right.
And that's a sad thing, but that's a reality.
But that's how life is always going to be. Someone's going to always be shoulda, woulda, coulda. Oh, it's totally. Always going to be that.
I agree, but I agree with what you're saying in that regard. But with Nancy, she had the opportunity.
But how do you
do
know
that?
She didn't change her mind over time?
She didn't,
because no one asked her.
No, she didn't change her mind. It wasn't until Elizabeth Taylor, when with her and I can't remember who it was, but it was one of the people who led the AIDS movement with Elizabeth Taylor. It wasn't until they went over there and literally pled with them, you need to acknowledge this. We have hundreds and thousands.
I'm talking about
of
later
people.
In her life after, like, oh. I mean, she was like president, or her husband was like 70 some years old when he was president. She lived to be almost 100. So there's like 25 years of time that no one asked her. How do you feel about this situation now? Or what would you have changed?
I see what you're saying.
So, and the same thing I'm saying now is people are upset because back in 2001, Hillary Clinton was like, no, I'm not for gay marriage. I think it should be this, this, this. They have the same rights as everybody else. So now that she's on board, why aren't people still angry at her for what she said in 2001? Just like they're still angry at Nancy Reagan that she said 30 years ago.
The only thing I could equate that is because people actually didn't die, like in masses, like they did.
But it's
back
still
then.
The same type of. It's the still I, affects see, a lot of people's
I,
lives.
Sure, and I understand that, but I don't that comparison is. Maybe it's because she didn't actually. No one actually asked her how she felt about that, in terms of Nancy Reagan, but. I mean, at least with Hillary Clinton, she, you know, she admitted that, yes, at some point she did not, you know, she wasn't for it. But over time, she learned and she understood. And
she's next door neighbors.
Jesus. And she, you know, literally changed her mind.
It sounds like a dog.
I mean, it's like, why are they yelling so loud, bitches? But it's, you know, I think it's because she actually was able to, you know, say, I apologize for my mistake. I learned and I've changed my error in my ways. Right. I don't know if that was the case with Nancy, because I don't ever remember them interviewing for her and asking her that.
Well, that's the thing. How do you know? I mean, people are basing maybe. It on
she
her
may,
judgment
and you know
at the
what?
Time.
And I will tell and you, then... and maybe I will tell you, and maybe she did feel some sort of resentment, or not resentment, remorse for not acting on it. But I think because there was it was such a huge thing at that time, and you had so many people dying, that people really just don't feel that she acted fast enough, especially when she had the ear of the president. And I think that's the reason why people are just really kind of like, what the fuck? Like, literally thousands, hundreds and thousands of people died.
I'm also concerned that he had, like, onset, like,
did he have, I don't think he had, it didn't start until after he left.
No, he was, his last four terms, it was, like, severe. Like, he was having issues. His last term? Yeah, because he was president for 8 years.
Right. But I didn't.
So, like, the last 4 years, it was, like, he was crazy already. Like, he was already forgetting shit and all that.
Oh, I didn't realize it hit him that quickly. Yeah. I thought it was, right after he got out of his presidency.
And I was like, it started while he was in his presidency. But I'm like, why wasn't, I mean, there's doctors. I mean, if presidents are they're not healthy or whatever, they usually talk about that situation.
Maybe that's the reason why people, maybe that's why he was a horrible president.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
I can't remember. I was too young to know. Yeah, we were all too young to know.
Even during like the whole HIV thing, I was still too young to know anything that was happening at the time. I know what happened now as an adult.
Right.
But I don't know if I could it's hard to blame people for something that's not at the time.
I will tell you, I'm not mad at her. I wasn't around.
I just know she wore red a lot.
But she wasn't, I don't remember that being a big issue until all the stories came out and you're like, really? Like, I think, and like I said, I think that's the reason why people are so angry about her, like Hillary saying that, because although I do have to say, and I said this before, she, even though she was, you know, she didn't at first, she did. Once Elizabeth Taylor talked to her, then they brought it to the forefront, and then they made it.
But Elizabeth Taylor was like her then social media. Like right now, if something if we would have had the technology now, back in the 80s when they were president, it would have been a completely different time.
Oh, for sure, they would have been fucking nailed to the wall immediately, like. Insane, like the same thing with like Ebola and all that shit. Like it would have never happened that way. Like they would have immediately said something because it would have been advised that the country needs to be aware of this. Like,
and then also I want to know, what point do you just accept and forgive and move on to the future?
Well, I think that's the thing that a lot of. I think that's also like part of in the community. I think that's what a lot of. You know, there's a cape, especially our, you know, brothers and sisters who are older and who actually lived through that stuff. Mm-hmm. That most of them, because they lost so many friends, they kind of hold on to that, right? And so then we have the younger generation of gays, you know, including ourselves, where we're like, you know, let's just move on. Like it happened. It's unfortunate. It's a stain in American history. You know, now we have advancements in HIV. Great. You know, yes, it sucks that thousands, hundreds and thousands of people have died in a very short amount of time during that time. And, you know, nothing was done. But, you know, let's move on. Like, it's time to move on. And I think that's the sort of internal struggle that, you know, a lot of gay people have with each other, is that you have these people who suffered through it and went through it. And then you have these people who didn't go through it. And it's like you have this like, let's move on. And then you have these people who are like, no, let's not, because that's an awful part of history. And as we continue to move forward with gay history and all that stuff, it's like those things are important, because look at that. Look at gay marriage. Look at where we're at right now, where we have states in the union that are fucking throwing laws that are saying that you can't be you, essentially. Like, I mean, so I get the sides. Like, I get why people are angry, and I also understand like the let's move on. Me personally, yeah, it was really shitty she did that, and it was really shitty that both president, you know, her and the president didn't move faster. Part of me says, yes, it's their ignorance. Part of me says it's their Republican white privileged people, and they didn't care because the most affected were minorities. Mm-hmm. So I think to some degree there was that, and a lot of the other flip side, it's they were just fucking ignorant. You know, like they didn't really know what was really going on in gay culture.
So you guys, let us know what you think. But you don't have to go into so much detail like we did. I didn't expect to talk about that for like 25 minutes. we're at a good 40 minutes.
Are we really?
Kind of, yeah.
Is it that long? Girl. Bro, we get passionate.
Girl. Did you watch the Passion of the Christ remake, the live version? Because someone said it was crazy.
The one Tyler Perry version?
Yeah.
I did not see it.
It was like in New Orleans and Trisha Yearwood was in it or something.
I heard it was horrible. That's what I've heard. I didn't see it.
How do you do a live version of that?
Okay, I mean, first of all, I'm not interested in anything that has to do with religion.
You know, I did see that movie, Passion of the Christ, not because I'm a religious person.
Right. Because you were curious. Because
I was in church my whole life, so I know the whole story. Fucking, I know the story.
Okay, I'm so tired of him getting nailed to the cross. Okay, but got it.
Even though I'm not a religious person, the way they treated just people in general and him, it was really upsetting to me. I wasn't like, I like teared up because, you know, it was sad how he was treated. And not just him, but a lot of people were treated the same way. And it was kind of violent, too. It was a really violent movie. I was, like, very surprised.
I didn't care for the way it was filmed.
I didn't care for the fact that flesh was flying off and you could see it. What was sad is, like, when his mom, Mary, was cleaning up the blood after him off the streets, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, any mother would be, like, she's like a real person. You know what I'm saying?
I think the thing that got to me a little bit was when he was betrayed. That to me was just like, was really sad.
Judas.
Because it was like, you could tell that he had, you know, the characters, of course, because let's be real, that may or may not have happened.
I think I think Jesus was a real person. Maybe not all the stories are correct or factual. I think he was probably a real person.
I don't know.
I don't think he was born to a virgin mother or any of that bullshit. But I probably
he was a mother of a whore.
I probably think he was a historical real person.
I don't know. He's been whiteified. Because really,
I'm not saying that he's
white. He's not Anglo. Clearly. No, but
no one was.
No. I know. But the depiction is that he's,
you know. Blue eyes. Just stunning blue eyes.
Yes. No, he was an Arab. Let's be... Duh. Yeah, I mean, so here... Like, I just think... the reason I think it was just really sad, because, you know, the story is just kind of like, wow, that's really... That really sucks, because it seems like he had, you know... a lot of fate
issues.
A lot of fate in these people, and they all sort of betrayed him. Yeah, but whatever. I don't know. I'm not.
That was just interesting that they did a live version of it. I think it's kind of stupid. Well, and then New Orleans. I mean, New Orleans, really?
Because, you know, that's where Jesus was happening.
Oh, Jesus getting crucified. Blech! Can you come fuck me? You know, that's what happens in in
New Orleans. New Orleans. drink.
He's like drinking from the cup of life.
Right. Hey, y'all, what up? Yes. Oh, my God, we're being so blasphemous.
I know, right?
There was a meme that was going around on Facebook where it had, instead of his hands being nailed, it was his feet nailed, and he was facing the bottom of the cross, and he was looking up, and the meme said, as he was getting nailed to the cross, he heard Nicki Minaj's Anaconda, and he flipped. I'm like, that is so fucking hilarious, but that was like so blasphemous.
I saw another one where Jesus is at a beauty salon getting his nails done, and they're like polishing the nails through his hands instead of like his fingernails. It's like, that's awful. So praise Jesus. Anyway, Lord, hallelujah, bring his life unto me.
Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday. Tomorrow's happy Easter.
Yes.
Happy Easter.
Happy.
We've Easter. Seen a lot of puns since we've been doing stamping. We'll talk about that on the next show.
Yes.
We got to go. This is Ricky.
And this is Wanksta.
You remembered.
I remembered.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Foul Monkeys. We really appreciate your feedback.
Please visit us at foulmonkeys.com or call us at 863-666-0377.
You can follow us on Twitter by following @foulmonkeys and visit our Facebook page by visiting facebook.com/foulmonkeys, and make sure you like our page.
You can also listen to us on Stitcher Radio, Rainbow Radio, or iTunes. And if you really love us, leave us a review on iTunes. And if you really hate us, or no, just hate us.
You hate us.
I mean, yeah.
How about Chicago? I could be there.
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right, pause it. And let's talk a little bit.
What?
Hey.